In the past week, Sharaji was explaining on Citta Nupassana from Satipatthana Sutta, Pali commentary, sub-commentary, according to the guidance given by the late Venerable Mahasi Sharaji. And Sharaji explained in quite detail about Citta Nupassana. And in Mahasatipatthana Sutta, it mentions how one can practice Citta Nupassana. The person who have gained Lokiya Jhana, who have gained mundane absorption, how they should practice Citta Nupassana. So in Mahasatipatthana Sutta, it mentioned about Mahagata Citta and Amahagata Citta, Sa-Uttara Citta and Anuttara Citta. Mahagata Citta is the fine material and immaterial consciousness, and the person who have gained absorption, they can note, they can observe these citta as Satipatthana practice. But what one has not gained yet, one cannot observe something that one has not gained yet. Sharaji will not explain these in detail. But yogis who are here to practice, they have to deal more with observing the Kama Vajra Citta, sense sphere consciousness, in practicing Citta Nupassana. So, practicing Citta Nupassana, one does not intentionally look for some consciousness to be noted, but one has to observe on the materiality that is most obvious. And when noting the materiality that is most obvious, in between there may be emotions or the mind that arises in between noting obvious material objects. So when these mind arise, one notes them, and then it will be Citta Nupassana. So in the beginning of the practice, it will not be easy to start with Citta Nupassana, noting various kind of minds, and it is not in accordance with the method how Vipassana should be practiced. So in practicing Vipassana meditation, one should start noting from the object that is most obvious. Materiality is the object that is most obvious, and even among the materiality, one should note Vayo Dhatu, the air element, which is the most obvious among the materiality. And when noting these objects, there may occur these mentality emotions which may arise in between, and one should note these mind by practicing Citta Nupassana. When the yogi gains momentum in practice, yogi keeps noting whatever object that arises. There are two kinds of desana, two kinds of discourse. The first one is desanakama, the discourse dealing with the the discourse given gradually in a series, one after another. So the discourse will start with something that is easy, and later on deal with more and more difficult things. And another one is Pavatekama Desana. It means that the discourse is given not in a series, but it is mentioned that there is no specific way how one should start the practice. It is no specific way how one should be observing in the practice. But in the beginning of the practice, one should be noting the primary object. And when one's insight become matured, there is no need to set what I will note after this, what will note after that. But as the objects arise one after another, one should keep on noting these objects in the way they arise. When one's vipassana knowledge becomes matured, the objects arise as if they are making ready for the yogi to note them, and it seems as if the objects are arising automatically and the yogi has to note them one after another. At this stage, his or her knowledge will be matured, his or her knowledge will be strong, and at this stage, the objects arise as if they are saying, note me, note me. And at this stage, yogi's knowledge will be bright and it will be strong. So whatever object that arises, one will be noting them automatically. So such kind of practice arises when one gains momentum in the practice, when one reaches higher knowledge. So it is not something that one can note at the beginning of his or her practice, but this stage will come after, when the yogi becomes skillful in the practice. So if the yogi is trying to note in a way he, she should in higher level of practice, then the person is wasting his or her time in the practice. And it will not be any benefit for the yogi if the beginner yogi starts to note in the way that advanced yogi should be noting. So when noting kaya nupassana, there may be various mind arising and one notes them, and it will be citta nupassana. And also when painful sensations arise in the body and the mind, when noting these painful sensations, one will be practicing vedana nupassana. And Saraji will continue to explain on that. And when other arise, such as seeing and hearing, one should be noting these seeing, hearing, and it will be dhamma nupassana, and one can gain knowledge. By practicing thus, one will discern impermanence, suffering, and non-self. And one will gain knowledge where one discerns the first arising and passing away of the objects. At that stage, one gains unique kind of happiness that is unrelinquishable. So Saraji will explain to to that stage. Sharaji will not be explaining all the inside knowledges, and Sharaji will not be explaining all these development of inside knowledges. Sharaji said, if Sharaji explains all the answers, then in the practice, when the yogi encounters similar experiences, yogi can be mistaken that he, she has gotten to that stage. And the yogi may not want to go on with the practice till he, she gains his or her goal. Buddha had given answers that by practicing this way, one will be getting these benefits. By practicing meditation, one will be knowing these cause and effect and so on. Buddha explained how one should be practiced. So there were complete instructions how one should be practicing. And by practicing according to the guidance given, one will get the benefits that Buddha had explained. Rather than the Buddha, there is no other person who can decide the yogi's stage of knowledge. Even Venerable Sariputra, who was nearly as wise as Buddha, did not decide for yogis, or did not decide for others what they had attained. So it is only Buddha's knowledge to decide what the person has actually gained, what stage the person had attained. Sharaji gives an example. When working out mathematical problems, the teacher explains how this problem should be solved, and when one follows this method to solve the problem systematically, one will get the answer. In the same way, the meditation teachers guides and instructs the yogis how to practice, and if the yogis practice according to the guidance given, they will get the answers, they will get the benefits by practicing systematically according to the guidance given, so that the answer would be the yogi's own answer. So just when the retreat is coming to an end soon, Sharaji hears that there has been some misunderstanding between the yogis, because Sharaji has been giving talk that whatever object that arises, yogi should note it right away so that yogi can keep pace with the object that arises. Sharaji said there should not be any thinking, but the yogi should note the object right away. So some of the yogis, they think that if there is no thinking, how one can know these objects correctly? So there has been some confusion and doubt in these yogis. So Sharaji has to explain what is Satipatthana when this retreat is coming to an end soon. In order to dispel their confusion and doubts, Sharaji will explain what Satipatthana is so that these people will be dispelling these doubts and confusion. And also new yogis will learn what satipatthana is from both theoretical and practical aspects. In the word satipatthana, sati means to remember or to be mindful, to be aware. What one should be mindful, what one should be aware, is the four fields of objects, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. Among these four, whatever object that is arising at the present moment, one should be noting them right away. So there can be question, is it not enough just to say sati? Why Buddha said satipatthana? So the question will be why the term patthana is included rather than saying sati alone. So today Saraji will explain how it is explained in the text from both theoretical and practical aspects. Satipatthana is firmly established mindfulness on these objects of kaya, vedana, citta, dhamma, which are obvious and prominent. So satipatthana is firmly established mindfulness, the mindfulness that peers into the object, mindfulness at great momentum, the mindfulness that covers and spreads onto the whole object, the sustained mindfulness that it is steadfast on the object. So satipatthana means firmly established mindfulness, piercing mindfulness, the mindfulness that has great momentum in noting the object, the mindfulness that covers and spreads on the entire object, the mindfulness that arises continuously, just like a stream of current. In practicing satipatthana meditation, there are five kinds of bala, five kinds of power needed to practice. The first one is sadda, faith and confidence, power of faith and confidence. Viriya, power of effort or courage. Sati, the power of continuous sustained mindfulness. Samadhi, the power of concentration. And Panya, power of wisdom or knowledge. Among these five, the other four, rather than sati, can either be deficient or excessive. So if there is deficiency among four of these, if there is any deficiency among any of these, then one cannot overwhelm the opposite mental states. And also, if there is excessive of any power, then one cannot know the true nature efficiently. So one should be careful so that there will neither be deficiency nor excessive of any of these power. Sati, mindfulness. There is no such thing that sati, mindfulness, is excessive, but there can only be the case where sati, mindfulness, is deficient. There is a saying, if there is excessive sadda, faith and confidence, then one believes in things that are not worthy of faith and confidence. If there are excessive panya, excessive knowledge, they can be deceiving. And when there is excessive viriya, effort, the mind can get distracted and scatter. And if samadhi concentration become excessive, there can be sloth and torpor. If there is faith and confidence without any knowledge, rather than investigating, if one believes in things, then it will be blind faith. Not knowing the true virtues, if one just believes in things just by hearsay, then it will be blind faith and it will be useless. And if one is thinking, imagining about things that are worthy of faith and confidence, there will just be thinking rather than faith and confidence on things that are worthy of faith and confidence. So if one is lacking faith and confidence, there will not be danda, there will not be strong will, and thus viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration will not develop. So excessive sadha, faith and confidence, is no good. Deficiency in sadha, faith and confidence, is not good. And if one has knowledge without any reflection, if there is excessive knowledge, then it is not good. And if there is deficiency in knowledge, it is not good. So there should neither be excessiveness or deficiency in knowledge. Some people, they are very eager to get the benefits. If they are too eager, if they are over eager, then they tend to exert excessive effort. If they are exerting excessive effort, the mind will not be concurrent with the object. The mind will scatter. So that's why if one exerts excessive effort, the mind will scatter. It will not be calm and collected. On the other hand, if there is deficiency in viriya effort, one will become lazy. So it is not good that the effort is too excessive, or it is not good that there can be that is not good to have deficiency in effort. So one should have just right effort, just the right amount of effort needed. And if the person is noting the object, a single object, again and again, there can also be excessive samadhi, excessive concentration. So if concentration becomes excessive, there can be sloth and torpor, not wanting to exert effort in the practice, becoming exhausted. So this can happen when there is excessive concentration. So that's why one should have just right concentration. If there is deficiency in concentration, then the mind will not fall calm and collected on the object. So that's why one should neither assert excessive effort nor deficient effort. When there is excessive concentration, the mind will become lazy. So one should be careful so that this concentration will neither be excessive nor deficient. And in sati, there cannot be any case of excessive sati, but there can only be the case that sati is deficient. And this sati, mindfulness, should not be ordinary, but sati, mindfulness, should be extraordinary. So that's why the usage of the word sati alone is not enough. That's why Buddha used the word satipatthana so that it is understood that one needs extraordinary, exceptional mindfulness in the practice. In the text, in the word patthana, in the text explained the definition of the word patthana, and it is very noteworthy. Patthaditi patthana, it means the mindfulness sticks closely on the object. The mindfulness very closely established on the object. In the word upatthati, upa means close. The noting mind should the noting mind be very close to the object. So as soon as the object arises, the noting mind should go very close to the object. Tati means established. So it means that the noting mind, the mindfulness, should be very close to the object. And the noting mind should be very close to the object. So sati here means the mindfulness that is firmly, very closely established on the object. As soon as the object arises, the noting mind should rush into the object, and the noting mind should pierce into the object. If a cork is thrown into water, the cork will float on the surface, but the noting mind should not be floating on the surface like a cork. When a stone is thrown into the water, the stone sinks in water. In the same way, the noting mind should sink into the object. As soon as the object arises, the noting mind should sink into the object, and mindfulness should be continuous. And the mindfulness should sink into the object as if it's piercing into the object. And it is called Aggantetva Bhavatati. And when the yogi notes the object, there are three kinds of speed: slow speed, regular speed, and fast speed. Yogi should not be noting at slow speed, and yogi should not be noting it at regular speed, but he, she should be noting with fast speed. As soon as the object arises, yogi should note it with fast speed. And when the yogi notes, yogi should be noting with greatest momentum, greatest speed in noting the object. The noting mind should rush into the object at greatest speed so that the object will be noted. And it is said, Pakhanditva Pavatati, it means the noting mind should rush at great speed to the object. And the yogi should note in such a way that the mindfulness will cover and spread onto the entire object. Saraji gives an example. If there is a group photo, and if you want to look at someone in the group photo, one should pinpoint, one should circle and pinpoint the person you want to look at in this group photo so that you will see the person clearly. If you look at the photo, group photo as a whole, you will not see clearly the person you want to take a look at, so you should encircle and pinpoint the person. In the same way, when noting the object, yogi should pinpoint the object that is to be noted so that the noting mind should cover and spread the entire object. And yogi should be continuously noting the object with firmly, closely, steadfast, established mindfulness on the practice. Among the five mental powers, apart from sati, there can be deficiency or excessiveness in the other four. So one should neither be deficient nor excessive in these four. One should have them just right so that it will bring necessary benefits. But sati, there is no case that sati becomes excessive, but there can only be the case where sati is deficient. The sati should be, mindfulness should be extraordinary, special mindfulness. When the object arises, the noting mind should rush into the object so that one cannot be disturbed by kilesa defilements. In the word satipatthana, pa means visita, it means extraordinary and special. It should be above ordinary, it should be extraordinary to be special and exceptional. So that's why pa can mean visita, it means extraordinary, special and exceptional. Busata means very intensive. There should not be deficiency in sati mindfulness, but there should be intensive mindfulness. So the sati should be intensive over and over again. So the sati should be extraordinary, exceptional, special, intensive mindfulness. In the word pakhandidva, pakhandana means rushing into, rushing with great speed, rushing with great momentum. Whatever is done with great speed, it is called pakhandana. In noting objects also, one should not be slow to note the object. One should always be alert, active, and ready to note the object. That's why extraordinary, intensive, exceptional mindfulness is needed so that the object can be noted right away. So that's why Buddha not only mentioned as sati, but Buddha added the term patthana. So when the word becomes satipatthana, it shows that the mindfulness should be extraordinary, special, exceptional, intensive mindfulness. In Bali, the word busa is explained as atisaya. It means it should be exceptional. It should be more than the ordinary. So it should be over the ordinary stage. It should be exceptional and intensive. Among the five powers, the other four, there can be either deficiency or excessiveness in the other four. But sati should be exceptional and very intensive. The more intensive and exceptional sati is, the better it is. So atisaya means exceptional, that is very intensive. So one should assert, one should have this intensive, exceptional sati that is very special. In order to have this exceptional quality sati, there is no time for thinking. If one is thinking, imagining, one will not gain knowledge. It will only be thoughts or imagination rather than the true knowledge. Because the objects that are arising, they are arising and passing away very fast. So one should be rushing the noting mind towards the object. One should note the object with fast speed. There is no time for thinking. If there is thinking, it will not be knowledge. One will not have direct experiential knowledge. There will not be attapacaka. There will not be direct experiential knowledge. If one is slow to know the object, then one will not know the paramattha, the ultimate reality, and true knowledge will not arise. That's why it is very important to note the object with fast speed so that one can note the object efficiently and one will come to know the true nature. One will get knowledge. There will be attapacaka, direct experiential knowledge. And Saraji will continue to explain next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.